Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we are at the end of the week, and it might be a best day for a duck here in Western New York. As it is pouring.
Oh my God.
Absolutely pouring. What happened to April showers bring May flowers? It's like been May showers. This is just, this is unprecedented.
Yeah. And it's cool, too. I mean, it was warmer in April than it has been in May. I hate rain. I just absolutely
My sump hate pump it. Is like working overtime. I swear it woke me up. Kicked on like eight times last night.
Do you have the backup generator thing working?
Yeah, there? We have that in case you lose power.
You kind of got to these days, right?
Well, around here you do.
Yeah.
All the wind that you have, it knocks stuff out. But,
yeah.
Man, alive.
Right.
Like
it's just
I was going to go for a run this morning. I opened the shade. I'm like, yep, it's 39 and it's raining.
I knew it was coming.
Not today.
I got out last night and mowed the lawn a little bit, but I can't even mow my lawn. Just part of it.
Swamp.
It's like a mud puddle. It tears it all up.
Right.
It's just so wet.
It's just a soupy mess.
This is
for sure.
Every year at this time of year, I remember how much I hate rain because it always happens around May, April, May.
Yeah. We got to dry out here, though. I mean, we're all like a bunch of wet noodles walking around here in Western New York.
I know,
it's
right?
Ridiculous. It is Friday. The OBL Fan Friday mailbag is open for you to submit any and all questions relating to the Bills or the NFL. Happy to take any and all on that, whether you do it on Twitter at OneBillsLive and hit us up there, or on the phone lines, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Fun show for you today, 12:30, about 28 minutes or so from now. We will have the latest edition of Tasker's Teammate. Second hour of the show, Bills long snapper Reed Ferguson, who has a new podcast to promote with his fellow NFL brother who long snaps for the Dolphins, Blake Ferguson. So we'll talk to Reed about that, along with off-season preparations and some opinions that he is currently holding on Twitter, as he was not happy about a recent query that was put out there on a Twitter handle about the best receiving corps in the NFL. The Bills were not listed.
There's six receiving corps listed. Bills weren't one of them.
So he was just kind of like, hey? And he has some stats to back it up. And then third hour of the show, I'm looking forward to this. We will have third round draft choice, Spencer Brown. Spencer Too Tall Brown will be joining us here in about 2 hours from now. So we look forward to talking to the Iowa native. He of the 500-pound max bench press and God knows what else. Oh, and the table jump after he got drafted. He busted through the table after.
That's right.
He got drafted. So
talk
to him about all of that.
He'd be hard pressed to find a table that would not buckle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Under the 6'8", 315 pounder.
So all of that is on the table for you. One thing, Steve, that I noticed in free agency, we got a clearer picture as to why the Dolphins, who we talked about yesterday with Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald, why they clipped Bobby McCain. Because today they signed Jason McCourty, the former New England safety to a contract. He's played corner and safety, but I think at this stage of his career, he's probably a safety exclusively. And so you wonder, was Bobby McCain, you know, clipped for this guy?
I wonder if McCourty's going to last longer than Van Noy did and Ted Karras.
I would imagine it's a one-year deal. I think he's 32 or 33. Like, are you signing that guy to a multi-year deal? I don't think so.
I don't know.
So I believe the plan there is for him to play some safety, not corner, where he played most of his career. So he was down to, I guess, the Dolphins and the Giants, and I guess the Giants are a little crowded at the position. So after seeing Bobby McCain get clipped, I guess he was convinced to go down there. So he'll probably work with rookie Javon Holland, serve as a mentor down there of sorts. So that's that. Stephon Diggs on social media essentially revealed the nature of the oblique injury that he played through during the playoffs last year. It was a torn oblique muscle, not a strain, a torn oblique muscle.
Right.
And for that kind of position where you're planning and turning and twisting and, you know, stretching for the ball, that's not a fun one.
It's a fact of life in the NFL where when you get to that point of the season, everybody, and I mean every guy, is dragging around luggage. You know,
yeah.
You just can't. You can't even set it down. You're sore. You get up in the morning. You hurt. It takes a couple of days to you know, work the kinks out. It takes forever to get warmed up for a practice, and heaven forbid you're practicing in the cold weather like you do here in Buffalo, and you just go out there. You can't get loose. And if a lot of guys like Cole Beasley and Steph Diggs, you have a real injury. You're not just sore, and you got to practice around that. And, you know, try and get ready to play, and it's just exhausting. It's just absolutely exhausting.
Yeah. So that was a little eye-opening, but not terribly surprising. And then we know, and we announced this yesterday on the show, that the league announced the off-season program dates. So OTAs begin May 24th. Mandatory minicamp begins June 15th. So those are on the schedule. What they will look like in terms of player participation across the league is another story, as the league and the Players Association still goes over how all of that is going to look. Hopefully we're in a better place by the time we get to minicamp, which is mandatory, not voluntary. It's the only portion of the offseason right. program that is not voluntary. So we'll see where that goes when we get there. We talked about the Packers and how they're looking to add some kind of veteran quarterback there in the event that the Aaron Rodgers thing completely goes sideways and there is absolutely no recourse for them to get him to play, or if, you know, he doesn't show up to training camp or anything like that. You need more than one arm, and Jordan Love's the only other guy on the roster.
Right.
So that'll be interesting.
You got to have four guys going into training camp. I mean, you don't – even three
at
is
least
not
three.
You're not
at,
even – three's not even
I
enough.
Know.
Four guys, because everybody cuts a quarterback or, you know, throws one on the practice squad or whatever. You got to have three guys ready to go that know the offense and can at least call the plays in the huddle, if not read the defense. But for training camp, you got to have four guys, at least to me. Because you got, I mean, you're trying to be efficient as you can with your time on the field. You don't want these quarterbacks having to, like, take every single rep, because by the end, time you get to the end of practice, they can't throw. You know, I mean, you're talking about 150 balls a day live without, not even including warming up. I mean, you just need that many guys. Forget about – and you're not worried about the guy taking reps away from your starter. I mean, come on. He knows what he's there for. Josh gets every bit of work he needs. Trubisky's going to get every bit of work he needs. And then the other two guys, Fromm and Webb for the Bills, you know, they get what they can get, and they pick it up in the film room and in the conversation after practice and before practice. That's just the way it is. And you got to have enough guys to throw to 90 guys on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got 13 wideouts. You got five tight ends. I mean, you got five or six, seven running backs. I mean – those guys are all catching balls all the time.
You got to have guys. And so the Packers are working out quarterback. Everybody's like, oh, my gosh.
We need some bodies. We need some arms.
No, they're not trying to replace Aaron Rodgers. They got to have bodies for camp. They got one guy.
Yeah, they don't want to blow out one guy's arm.
And their best guy may not show up.
Yeah.
They should be signing at least two.
Yeah. So they're on the hunt there. And then there's this, Steve. This caught my eye. I thought this was very interesting. There are reports out there. The school actually hasn't confirmed it themselves. But Presbyterian College, which I believe is in South Carolina, is reportedly going to hire Arkansas high school coach Kevin Kelly, who's also been dubbed the Mad Scientist. This is the guy who never punts on fourth down, and after a score, always onside kicks. He's been, you know, married to analytics probably longer than anybody else has, and, you know, uses those figures to back up his strategy of going for it on fourth down every single time and onside kicking every single time. Now, I don't know if that would apply to the NFL, onside kicking every single time, knowing how low the percentage is in terms of the success rate with the new rules they have at this level.
Yeah, the analytics are different for the NFL.
Yeah. But college and high school, it is not. So, as I said, the school has not announced it yet, but a ton of college coaches have wanted a piece of this guy, and he's said, oh, no, I'm doing my thing in high school. I'm good here. But now, finally, Presbyterian College looks like they're going to hire Kevin Kelly, the coach who never punts. That's like what that's like his moniker.
Right. It's a bumper
sticker. As their college head coach. So, be interesting to see how it does, granted, at a lower level of college football, but still in all, the next level up from high school. So I think it's people are going to keep a closer eye on Presbyterian College now, you know, watching what they do.
Yeah, and it's another step towards getting to the higher levels of the sport, and it'll be interesting because it's going to be scrutinized by everybody from the NFL level all the way through the Division I, Division II, Division – everybody's going to be watching to see how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you better believe it.
Because if there's anybody else at any other school that thinks they can get an edge, even if they don't adopt it like never punting, even if they don't adopt that, at least they'll say, well, you know what? Fourth and anything less than three, we got to go for it. That kind of strategy. It will bend their, you know, opinion about never or how much they go for it on fourth down or never punting or onside kicks, all of that.
It's a very minor difference in terms of what the analytics show, at least at the high school level. Expected points added for a fourth down conversion attempt in a game is 1.6. Expected opponent points for a decision to punt is 1.5. So that's almost that's like a 3-point swing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he goes for it on every fourth down. Whether he's on his own 5-yard line or his own 30-yard line.
Yeah,
every time.
Every time you go for it and get it and the other team punts, it's supposedly a 3-point swing or thereabouts.
That's what his analytics tell him, at least at the high school level. So
I guess he's successful. He's getting a job at a higher level.
The key there is, and I don't know that even enough, although it's significantly better than it was 10, 12 years ago, there are head coaches at the NFL level that just don't want to bring on
the scrutiny
and level of criticism that would be leveled against them with this kind of an approach. And that's why everybody says, well, I don't know if it's ever going to take firm root at the higher levels of football, you know, major college football or the NFL, because it really does take a special kind of coach to deal with that criticism that accompanies decisions that are in stark contrast to conventional wisdom and practices.
Yeah, it's hard because everybody feels like they own it, right? I mean, particularly in the media.
Why would you do that?
Right. Well, I mean, what are you doing? Because my analytics say this and this, and what? It's never been done. That kind of they get all kinds of questions, and the media thinks they know stuff.
Yeah,
and some of them do about certain aspects of the game, but you get grilled as a head coach,
and even by people that don't have numbers to back up what they say. Well, that's not the way you do it.
Right.
You don't go for it on your own 10-yard line.
Certainly fans think that. I mean, come on. So, and onside kicking all the time. I mean, people feel like they own they know the game. They watch it a lot. They hear what people say about it. They hear the conversation about it. It'll evolve towards, you know, we already are there. I mean, people go for it way more often now than they did at any point in history. And it will evolve towards people getting used to the fact they're going to go for it on certain – they'll say, well, they're outside their 45-yard line and it's fourth and less than three. They're going to go for it.
9 state titles in 18 seasons at Pulaski Academy in Little Rock, Arkansas. So it worked at the high school level. We'll see if it works at the college level.
The first time he wins a national title at Presbyterian, he's going to get headhunted to come up to a higher level. Maybe not as a head coach, but certainly as an analytics or game manager coach or whatever.
Yeah.
He'll get a huge raise. Maybe he says, no, I'm going to be the head coach or I'm not going to be anything. And he'll stay at Presbyterian for as long as he wants.
Maybe. So, you know? Certainly something that bears watching when we get to the fall. People be like, hey, where can I find that Presbyterian game?
Right.
Is that one on? No.
Uh-huh.
Is it on ESPN7? Where can I find it? 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The OBL Fan Friday mailbag is open. So we're going to go to the phones at 803-0550. And leading us off today is Dave in Amherst, who's got a question. Dave, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys. A couple of questions. Here we go. Last year, could you for me rank our running game from a 1 to 10 real quick? Just give me a number, please.
In terms of production?
Yes.
5.
With 10 being the best? Yeah, I would say like somewhere around 4 or 5.
Middle of the road.
Okay. How about Steve?
That's what I say. It's me. I say middle of the road,
okay.
5.
I can't tell who's talking. I have the mute on my phone. Anyway, second question. Where would you rank Shady? Would you say he was an excellent back when we acquired him?
When we got him, yeah.
Okay, great. I'm going somewhere with this. Hang in there.
It's okay, go ahead.
How about Moss and Singletary? Where would you rank them? Excellent, mediocre, superb?
Well, they're better than Shady. Now.
Okay.
They're better than Shady now.
Right now, Steve is saying.
All right. Now, here's a good one for you. Could you project and give me a number on this year's running game from 1 to 10?
It'll probably be it's the same, 5.
Five, okay. Now, that leads me to my question, and I've heard both of you guys expound on this. In fact, just last week I heard both of you expound on the importance of the front four. Game is won in the trenches and so forth. I thought that was excellent rendition of what is necessary for a successful run game. So, finally, this is where I was going. Why haven't we addressed this run game to the extent that it should be?
What makes you think they haven't?
Production. You just said it yourself before.
Well, wait a minute. Right. Oh, you mean? Well, I thought you were talking about this coming year.
Yeah, I am. Where do you think that we have addressed it sufficiently that our run game is going to improve to maybe a 6, a 7, possibly an 8?
Yeah, because
we're going to stay there where we are.
Well, here's the question, Dave. To me, the offensive production in the run game hinges more with what happens up front than it does with what happens with the running backs.
Exactly, that's my point. So why haven't we addressed the front line?
Well, they drafted 3 offensive linemen.
Yeah, drafted. But when do they normally, average-wise, when do they produce?
I don't know what to tell you. What's your point?
My point is,
we don't have the front line to open holes for a run game.
Right. Well, that's your opinion, Dave.
Okay,
and you're certainly entitled to it. I would argue that the offensive line, especially from guard to guard, was a schmozzle last year due to injuries more than anything else. You did not have the 3 guys they wanted to start together for any one game until midseason, and it went for three snaps, and then Cody Ford got injured. The game that John Feliciano came back in at right guard was the same game that Cody Ford left, or Mitch Morse left with a concussion. That's what it was.
Mitch Morse left with a concussion.
And then Cody Ford got injured
then
the next
Mitch
week.
Then when Mitch Morse came back, Cody Ford got hurt in the same game.
So I guess my point is the Bills, it's my contention, the Bills believe if they are just healthier this year from guard to guard, they will be better there. And I would venture to say this, okay? If they find that guard to guard, and I'll just give you a projected starters, Cody Ford, Mitch Morse, and John Feliciano guard to guard there, if they come to the conclusion that it has not gotten better with the three of them healthy and in the lineup week after week after week, they will make a change. They may put Darrell Williams at guard and start the rookie Spencer Brown at right tackle and see if they get better traction there. The point here is, at least from my perspective, and you can agree or disagree, Steve, I think they have invested. We just don't know what the combination is going to be yet, and we don't know what the results are going to be. So to sit here and say they haven't done enough or that they're going to be demonstrably better is impossible to predict until, A, we see what the starting five are. And I don't think you should assume anything, especially from guard to guard. I think that is wide open for debate. There are guys that are the odds-on favorites to be manning those positions, but we saw it in the middle of the season. They sat Mitch Morse down for a game that he was cleared to play in, and he didn't play at all. And we're talking like week 10?
Yeah.
You know, like after you really have a good feel as to what's going on out there.
I think Dave's question was, do you think they've done enough? I do. I think they've done enough. They made three draft picks of guys that are really going to compete to play. They're guys that are physically gifted, and certainly some of them need some polish, and some of them haven't had enough work or enough maybe games in the last year and a half because of COVID. But the health of the offensive line last year and the shuffling around they did, they really never knew what they had with the five guys they thought were going to start in the preseason. And with no preseason, it took them a while to get going. And there's a lot of things that did that. But your question is, and your point is, you don't think they've done enough to give themselves a chance to run the ball better. There's a bunch of points about that. One, their offensive line was good last year. They weren't asked to block in the run game a lot. They weren't committed to the run game because they had a passing game that was killing everybody. I don't think that's going to change this year. You're not going to see this team run the ball any more than 40% of the time, if that. Secondly, the offensive line competition that they brought in should make whoever is out there the best option for the team. And when you invest three draft picks in that, and you've got other guys that are on your roster from a year ago, that should be enough assets invested in the offensive line to give you a boost in your run game to the point where you feel good about running at 40% and you don't start running at 35%. I think they have done enough. And if they haven't done enough, it's on the players, not the effort that the organization has put behind.
And let's not forget, they don't just have rookies to turn to if they don't like what they're seeing up front. I mean, they signed Forrest Lamp in free agency. I mean, that guy's a three-year starter, former second-round pick. I mean, it's not like you got some reserve who is on the bench because, well, you know, I guess he could get us through a game. Forrest Lamp started 16 games last year, played every single snap for the Chargers last year. He's here.
Right.
Like
I read this yesterday. Somebody was thinking, and I'd forgotten about him, that Ryan Bates, who they got in a trade with Philadelphia last year or 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
He played all five spots, which is why he was on the 53 all the time. And I think his real spot is center.
Center or guard,
Or guard. So the Bills this preseason, in reference to your point, Dave, they got a lot of options, a lot of things they've got to find out about. And we have seen this coaching staff,
hesitate.
They re-signed John Feliciano. We love him. They re-signed Darrell Williams. He was a huge, pleasant surprise. We love him at right tackle. Mitch Morse is grinding it out at center, of course. Cody Ford, we can't wait for him to get back and play guard. We all kind of feel like that's his natural position. Of course, Deion Dawkins is the anchor. This coaching staff does not care
Because if they're better with one or two or three or five of those guys being outplayed by somebody else, they get benched.
Yeah.
They don't care. And that's the atmosphere in the locker room and the coaching staff or whatever. So with all the options we've just outlined, I don't know how you say the Bills haven't put enough effort into getting better up there.
And it's not just more options, it's better options. It's higher caliber player options.
Yes.
That they have to turn to if the five it's, that they end up going with is not sufficient to their standards.
Forrest Lamp is a better pickup than Winters was last year.
Oh, my God.
And yeah. Winters played a lot of snaps last year. That kind of thing. So, they have every – and they signed – and for your point about running backs, they signed Matt Breida as well.
Yeah.
Who is a really good back. He struggled in Miami last year, lost favor with Brian Flores.
Yeah, he wasn't a fit.
He was not a fit there. But we'll see if he's a fit here. But he's got the physical tools that are different than Moss and Singletary. So, yes, Dave, I think you can rest a little easier than you obviously are about what they did with the running game. But don't for a minute think they're going to run the ball more than they did last year.
They just need to be good enough to run it when they need to. That's all they really need to do here with the juggernaut that the passing game
is. I said it yesterday, maybe. You're talking about a running game for a team that is scoring a lot of points. And we always think about late in the game, it'd be great to be able to run the football.
Yeah, salt the game away.
Yeah, okay, that'd be great. But that's not going to happen for a team that knows it's coming. And I don't care who you are in this day and age of football. All it comes down to then is run, and then convert the third down. Run, convert the third down. I don't care if they throw it or pass it or whatever. And with Josh and this receiving core, that's the crux of their four-minute offense, just converting that third down, whether they can run the ball effectively or not on first and second.
Let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Jeff in Buffalo. Jeff, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys. Hey, what are crystal balls or your opinions or whatever it may be? One more little tidbit on the draft. Do you think, or what's your opinion, if the Bills knew that Boogie Basham was going to be there at 61, do you think that would have changed the Russo pick at 30? And another thing I just wanted to throw in there is yesterday you talked a little bit, or the day before maybe, about tight end position. And with Lee Smith gone and with the crop of tight ends they have, I know that they're a passing team and you're pretty much going to split your tight end out or at least not have them don't you feel that there is a need for more of a well-rounded, if not even a blocking tight end on this team?
Yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from with that, Jeff. I respect that opinion. There's always a place for a blocking tight end on the roster. Who that will be from the current crop, I can understand why you don't see someone filling that role of the guys that they already had, because Lee Smith was the one that did it previously, and he's in Atlanta now. Let's wait and see if they even choose to have somebody serve in that capacity. It might get down to a point where they don't want an inline tight end unless they're in a goal line situation. And in that case, your goal line tight end might be Spencer Brown.
Right, if he's not already starting, or even if he is already starting. I agree. I think they'll fill that role if they feel it's that important. They'll fill it somehow, some way, whether it is bringing in a tight end who is sort of a threat in the passing game. And we saw Lee Smith catch you can remember Lee Smith catching handfuls of passes because, you'd be a forgotten guy and then he would just pop out. He'd do it in the end zone. He did it in, maybe it was the Pittsburgh game. On a Monday night where he caught
New
a ball
England
down
game.
The sign, the New England game, where it was New England.
Yeah, Feliciano tackled him in the end zone.
That's right. There's a ton of instances where, Lee Smith did catch some passes. None of them were catches that would have been hard for even an offensive lineman to make.
And let's not forget this, and I'm not trying to build up Spencer Brown too much here, but he was a tight end in high school in eight-man football, so it would not be something completely foreign to him.
Right, and they've got other athletes on the squad that
absolutely.
Can do that as well. I mean, there's plenty of that. But, yeah, if they get into a point where they need a blocking tight end, they can throw a 6'8 rookie offensive tackle out there and let him do it.
Let him move people.
But if you want more flexibility than that, if you want a tight end who can split out and go one-on-one with a safety and then also come down in line and be effective in that, good luck. finding that guy.
Back to the phones.
Those are hard to find.
Yeah. Back to the phones and to Bobby in Lancaster. Bobby, what you got? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, boys. How you doing on this rainy Friday afternoon? Right. What I got for you is this. I just want to go back to, I think, two callers ago, this guy with the shady comment. Not here to insult anybody, but are you kidding me with this running game already? My head's going to explode with this running game deal. We would rather have the best running game in the league with Shady McCoy and go 8-8 or have Josh Allen win 13 games or 15 with the playoffs and go to the championship game. I mean, where are we going here with this running game? Our bread and butter is with Josh Allen, and if you don't know it, you don't know football. Now, the reason why I respect the opinion about the running game, because I know you got to, like you said, to finish off ball games. I agree with that. However, the reason why I know this side of the argument is right is because think about this. If you're on the other side of the ball and playing defense, would you rather have Josh Allen hand that ball off another 15 times a game, or would you rather have Josh Allen pass against you?
Yeah. I mean, you could take
– right. Same way you're looking at Patrick Mahomes. I'd rather have him hand that ball off and then get 4 or 5 yards than him go back and pass because my stomach is in knots when that guy goes back to throw the ball.
Yeah, it was the same thing. It was the same thing with Brady all those years, Bobby. I mean, it was the same thing with Brady. I mean, you felt a whole lot better when he was handing it off, you know, to Corey Dillon or whoever else throughout all the years.
That's a terrific comparison as the Brady one. I mean, you don't think teams are afraid of Josh Allen? You're crazy. If they'd be happy with us to hand the ball off with 3 yards and a cloud of dust, then 33-yard completion with a cloud of glory. So think about that, the running guy, whoever he was. All right, thank you, boys.
Thanks, Bobby. Bobby, you're right. I mean, it's a throwing league, and now for the first time in a couple of decades, the Bills have got a guy that can keep up with anybody throwing the football. And when we talk about – when people talk about the running game, and even Brandon Bean said it, and it was most notably said exactly the way he said it. He said, we don't want to run the ball more. We want to run it better. And it's not even – a run game at this point for the Buffalo Bills isn't even a new coat of paint. It's like wiping a smudge off to make your car look that much better. This offense is humming. It was humming big time. It was like it was crushing teams. I'll go back to it. We said it. You go back to the week 17. This is how good that offense was playing. They had the number one scoring defense in the league at home, and they crushed them. They crushed the Miami Dolphins. They scored 56 points, and three touchdowns at the end of the game were with the backups. They crushed them. That's how good this offense is. So you can talk about how you want, how it's the running game. The running game is fine. It could run. Yeah, they could be more efficient. No worries. No question about it. But, man, oh, man, who cares? I want Josh to drop back. I want Emmanuel Sanders on our team, Diggs, Beasley, and Gabe Davis, and hopefully a Dawson Knox who's taken a big step forward, healthy and without COVID and uninjured. So if that happens, I don't care if they run the ball three times a game. They are unstoppable in the passing game. Unstoppable last year.
Number two in scoring, first in the league in third down conversion rate.
They were crushing it last year. So I get it. I mean, there's always something you look at and say, well, I wish they'd do this better, that better. No. They are – all that is just – that's just not even a cherry on the cake. I mean, it's like a little piece of glitter. I mean, that's nothing. This offense was absolutely killing it last year. So if you want to get better, look someplace other than on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I know we talked about how much they've bolstered the offensive line and all that, and that's all well and good, and it looks good going forward, and they got some competition. They're going to be better up front than they were a year ago. I am confident of that, which is going to help the running game and all that. But if you want to get better, do what the Bills did. Get their pass rush spiffed up, bring in some competition, or look for the guys to step forward at the other cornerback. But, man, oh, man. You won 13 games last year with this offense, and mostly with this offense.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to get better as a team, you got to look someplace else right away.
Probably. We have to take a break, but Matt and Andrew, hang tight. We'll get to you when we return, along with Tasker's teammate to follow here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Time to go right back to the phones as it is an OBL Fan Friday mailbag. Any question on your mind is open in this forum today, as it is every Friday. So we go to Matt in Clifton Park. Matt, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
I'd like to ask about what your opinions are on Christian Wade. He was a beast in the 2019 preseason. No one could tackle him in open field. Do you think he would get playing time over someone like Breida or Moss? I'll hang up and listen. Go back.
Yeah. You bet. Yeah, thanks for the call, Matt. Steve and I have talked about this a lot, probably over the last couple of years. And I think the biggest issue with Christian Wade is how young he is in football. And so the challenge, see, like, everybody saw him run for a giant long touchdown in the 2019 preseason, almost went for two touchdowns, but another long run got caught from behind and didn't get in the end zone on the second one.
Yeah, the second one was a reception, yeah.
That part of the game comes very naturally to him because it's very relatable to the angles that he experiences in rugby, which Steve can speak to rugby in the better than I can because he played rugby in college in addition to football. The areas of his game where you have concern is in the pass protection elements of the game, the reads that he has to make as a protector for the quarterback, things of that nature, instincts. Sometimes there are parts of that game which don't translate, and it makes it difficult. For example, he should be at the sideline right now on this run instead of cutting it back inside and getting caught.
You go back to his highlights in the Carolina preseason game from 2 years ago when he caught that swing pass, made a phenomenal move, made three guys miss, and then when he got down the sideline, he didn't know how to run with interference in front of him because that's not what you do in rugby. He didn't know how to use his own blockers, so it cost himself and the team a touchdown because he didn't understand. His instincts weren't to use his teammates to his benefit.
Yeah,
so
he ran
wrong,
and he
ran right into the tackle. And that's the kind of example you're looking at where instincts come into play and hurt you for not having them, for not playing as a kid and understanding it.
So that is the main issue with Christian Wade. Does he have the speed and physical skill to play at this level? Probably.
Oh, absolutely.
But the question is, does he have the instincts and the football IQ where you can trust putting him out on the field on a third down or in an obvious passing situation, that he's going to read the defense correctly while he's running a circle route or a wheel route and knows how to adjust that route based on the coverage and the snap of a finger, where he's not going to get crossed up with his quarterback and it leads to an interception. These are the details of the game that come very naturally to Zach Moss or Devin Singletary or even Antonio Williams because they've been playing this game since they're 5 years old.
Right.
At every level of football. Christian Wade's trying to do it at the highest level of football. He's not just being introduced to football at, you know, a lower college level or a high school level. He's trying to play it at its highest level. That's a challenge, even for somebody as dedicated as Christian Wade. I mean, we're all rooting for him, but that's what he's working against.
Yeah, and he's competing against players who have all of that stuff. In fact, that's what they really have. I said it, you know, while you were speaking there, that, yeah, he's got all the physical capabilities he needs to play. But when something happens where you have to free think and improvise or react, like, for instance, he, I don't know if he knows anything about how to feel or how it feels to cover a kick or a punt or do anything else on special teams. So his value to the team is limited by that as well. And that's a whole nother way to play football out in space, doing all that stuff. And certainly all of this on some level translates to the skill sets he's displayed in rugby. But the instincts are completely different because the rules are different. I don't want to say it's hopeless in the least, because now he's been here. This will be his third preseason been here, and he's come a long, long way.
But he was tremendously hurt by there not being any preseason last summer.
That's probably
true. Those are three or four games. He could have got valuable game-like game speed reps, and he didn't get them to prove what he could do or how much he had improved. And so the coaching staff is left with, I don't know if we can trust him. Like, we'll put him on the practice squad and see where it goes from there. But you know what I mean? Like, without evidence.
And he's exempt, but you're right. I mean, it's just unfortunate they didn't get that chance last
year. Because without that evidence, how can a coaching staff definitively know?
And he gets no, aside from the exemptions on the roster for international pathway players, he gets no special treatment. So he's got to compete. He's got to beat somebody out.
Yeah.
It's a competition. And he's up against some really experienced football players, even in the rookie classes that have come in.
Right. Andrew in Stafford is next. Andrew, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Yeah. Hey, Steve. Hey, Chris. I just wanted to get your thoughts on.
Hold on, Andrew. Oh, you're breaking up.
Oh, sorry.
Repeat. I can hear you now. So just start over if you could.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on position flexibility versus development. I feel like Ford and Bates have been kryptonite to that, whereas like I hear Jack Anderson can play guard and center and Boogie Basham can play end and tackle, and I don't want them to fall victim to that loss of development. Just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's less of a concern at defensive line, and the only reason I say that is because we heard Brandon Bean after the draft even say that Greg Rousseau and Boogie Basham are left defensive ends first. And I think they will school them up there primarily. The only time they're really going to kick inside, I think, is during obvious pass rush situations, obvious passing downs, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 15, 2nd and 12, those kinds of situations. That's when you're going to see them on the field. Right. Reduce down inside.
Well, so Andrew asked a really great question because it is a tough balance to strike. You got this kid that can play three different positions, like a Ryan Bates. We've heard it. He's played five positions. That's great. When are you going to give him a chance to be really good at one of them?
Yeah, give him a home.
Give him a home and let the guy develop, because in so doing, moving him around all the time, he'll never get as good as he could be at any one of them as he would as he dedicated his all his time to. And that's a great question by Andrew. It's a great aspect of coaching that I'm not really familiar with myself, you know, because I don't know how it is to coach those guys. Yeah. I don't know what the balance they want to strike is. You got to, you know, you've said it time and time again. This coaching staff is really good at developing guys, and I'll leave it to them to figure it out how they do that. But we said the same thing about Cody Ford. He was vacillating between right guard, right tackle for the first year and a half of his career. Finally, he's down inside. Darrell Williams comes in. He's going to play guard. Okay, now it's left guard, and he's going to stay there, and then he loses half the season. But I think it's a real tough question to answer, and I don't really know the answer to it. I don't know how the coaches decide which player is going to be like, okay, you know what? I know you've been playing right tackle, right guard, and center. We've been sprinkling you around. We want you to focus on whatever. I don't know when that time comes for coaches when they give the guy. And I don't know whether it hurts or helps a guy, because McDermott said, well, I know he can play all these positions, so I want him around. But if you put him right at say, right guard, you think, he's not good enough.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
well, and just to indicate why that's a valuable thing to do, if you can give a player a home, look no further than Jason Peters. When he was at Arkansas in college, they played him on offensive line, they played him on defensive line, and then they played him at tight end. He played a host of different positions, and I still remember interviewing him as a rookie here, and he said, I just could never find a home in college. And he goes undrafted because he never had a chance to hone his skills. The Bills, after having him for a couple of months, they say, you're playing offensive tackle. That's your spot. 20 years later, the guy's still playing.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
That's what could happen, potentially.
That's right. Undrafted and signed really because of his traits.
Yeah, he ran a 4.85 40 at 300 pounds.
He's 6'4", 320, you know, without breakfast.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy could move. He was very quick, very explosive athlete at way over 300 pounds. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they signed him because of his traits.
Yeah. Break time here. Tom and Wes Seneca, hang tight. We'll get to you when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Before we get right back to the phone calls, just want to let everybody know that Connect Life is putting the call out for blood donations. Our partners at Connect Life, they've basically declared a blood emergency as local blood supply levels have reached a critical low. Connect Life, the primary blood supplier to Western New York, is calling on all eligible blood donors to consider donating. All donations are kept local. So if you would like to make an appointment to donate, you can call them at 529-4270. That's a 716 number, 529-4270. Or you can go online to connectlife.org, and there's a tab there that you can just click to donate. I was getting hit up hard by the American Red Cross on my email the last couple of weeks, and I donated just last week. And so I can confirm that even if you have been vaccinated for COVID, as I fortunately have, you can still donate. They'll ask you that question. You say yes, but it's not an issue. It's not. So don't think, you know, because you're in the middle of getting vaccinated or you have been vaccinated that you can't donate. You can, in fact, do that because I just did it last week. So if you are ready, willing, and able, connectlife.org, help them out. There is a major blood shortage right now during this pandemic.
And it stays local.
That is the most important
part. You're helping your
friends
and neighbors. That's awesome.
Or, you know, God forbid, one of your family members if they need it. So there's that. Let's get back to the phones. Tom in West Seneca has been waiting patiently. Tom, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Chris, Steve, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I'm going to start off with a little bit of plagiarism because I really think it's applicable. In the NFL draft and free agency, it's like a box of chocolates. You never really know for sure what you're going to get. We were ultra fortunate to have signed Josh Allen because, to be quite frank, I think he's a great quarterback now, and I see nothing but greatness in his future, and that equates to greatness for our Buffalo Bills. We're right at the doorstep of a Super Bowl appearance, and adding to that about free agency, sometimes you're getting a player with a good NFL resume, but he may be in the twilight of his career, and sometimes Father Time, he has a way of sneaking up on you and maybe ending your career a little sooner than you anticipated. But that's pretty much it. Thank you for having me, and go Bills. And like I said, we are at the doorstep of a Super Bowl appearance. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks, Tom, for
Tom
the call.
From West
Appreciate
Seneca's
it.
Pretty positive about what's going to happen.
He is optimistic, even on this rainy Friday. Mm-hmm. Good on him, man. And he's got every right to be. I mean, I still remember when we had, who was it now? It wasn't Jordan Palmer. We had another guest talking about Josh Allen, and he said, I don't believe he has a ceiling.
Right.
You remember, I looked over at you going, did you just hear that?
Yeah, I think it was.
It was
Brian Billick or somebody like
it
that.
It was someone who had played pro football. It wasn't Chris Sims, but it was somebody like that, somebody who had,
right.
You know?
We have guests on every day, and
they all blend together.
Now, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who's not, you know,
on board.
Touting Josh. Yeah, certainly now there's two that they're getting hard to find, but there's people who are thinking, I think, maybe not saying it, but making statements about the league and what's going on that they think maybe Buffalo was an aberration last year. The 13 wins was kind of a fluke. There's a little bit of that out there. I haven't seen anybody think that outright or say it, but okay, you know, that's fine. But I'll tell you what, last year they were really, really good, and there's no reason to think they're not going to be at least that good this year.
The Fan Friday Mailbag on the Tweet Sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. And Jose leads us off today and says, with an overcrowded defensive end core, if the two new rookies impress in preseason, who is more likely to be released before the beginning of the season? Could it be a cap-related decision, or would it have to be strictly performance-related? I'd say it's probably both. They weigh everything. These guys don't make knee-jerk decisions. They're very thorough, calculated, methodical. They weigh every ounce of the decision out before making it.
And it'll have to do with what they're going to ask from each of those guys and what they expect, how they expect the season to go, what they're going to need during the regular season, what those guys bring to the table in the meeting rooms and in film, and what they, you know, the veteran guys bring a different set of parameters to what they can offer than the young guys. But first and foremost, it's performance. They're not going to cut a really good player just because another guy's a better dude in the meeting room. If you can play, you're going to stay. Unless
that's what they did with Trent Murphy last year.
That's right. Unless you can't keep up, you got a chance to make the team. So some of these cuts are going to be hard. There's no question about it. They're going to have some hard decisions to make. They're going to weigh everything that one of the veteran guys brings to the table against what they're looking at in these young players. Or between the two young players, which one's giving him the most, which one has the biggest upside, which one looks like he's going to reach the better point faster. Could it be that one of the young players is going to be better quicker, but the other guy is going to be better longer? You know, what do you do with that decision? It's tough, but it's all going to come down to which guy's going to give him the best chance to win more on every Sunday, every game this season. That's what this is going to boil down to. Now, they'll do what they can to keep, you know, to hang on to all these guys if they can, but it's going to be who can help us win this year, today. And that's what those decisions really ultimately will be based on. And, there's no question. It's a good question, and it's a good, you know, you kind of get at the crux of why it's so difficult to cut these guys and who and which ones to cut. But they're going to have to do it somewhere.
Yeah. Break time for us. When we return, Bills long snapper Reed Ferguson will join the show as we'll talk to him about his new podcast with his brother, who is the long snapper for the Miami Dolphins. So we'll talk to him about that, how he sees the AFC East stacking up, his Twitter opinion today about receiving corps in the NFL, and maybe even, Steve, a little soccer talk, as he is a huge fan of Chelsea. We'll talk about him, about all of that, when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.